And so I remember we would walk, we'd send a spy, either it'd be me or Monica or Brittany, or sometimes we'd send an older kid that was like a helper to come down here and spy to see, you know, what, if we needed to hurry up and finish the lesson, or if we needed to, you know, find something for the kids to do. Because sometimes when you have an evangelist, they'll be preaching for like an hour and 45 minutes, and them kids are like going really crazy. And so we would talk about, oh, worship's going long, but you know what? I think that's a great thing. You know what? That I could spend time. See, the cool thing about worship, it's not that we're playing music. It's a blessing when the music sounds good, because I know we've all been to places, and we've been in worship services where you were kind of like, what's about to happen? You know, you think something's wrong here, something's wrong there. It's kind of distracting, and maybe that's kind of a vain thing to get hung up on. But you know what? It's a blessing when we have musicians that can handle their own and that can carry me. And so that's awesome. But the coolest thing about worship is we get to stand together and we get to speak the truths of God. That's why we vet all the music we sing. We don't just sing it haphazardly. We vet it and make sure that it lines up with the Word of God. And so when we say, I've seen you move mountains and I believe you'll do it again, we're saying that together as a body of believers, saying, God, we've seen you break down these fortresses and barriers in our lives, and we believe you're going to do it again. And so that's such a good thing. And y'all, just keep plugging into worship. And think about it that way, that we're singing the truths of God. It's not a contest to see who can sing the best, but it's a way for us to stand in solidarity, together in unity, and speak those truths together. And so I want to speak today about unity. And if you want to turn with me while I'm telling this story to begin to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. And we're not going to stay there. We're going to jump around. And it is, I have 10 minutes until crunch time, the red zone, and I've got about 45 minutes of preaching. So, if you sneak out the back, I will see you. Anyway, oh yeah, hey, Roy's back. So everybody say hi to Roy. Man, so there was a. We all know a lot about the Iraqi war, the conflict in Iraq. And, you know, there's a lot of opinions on whether it should happen, whether it shouldn't have happened. But there was a battle that took place during the Iraqi war called the Battle of Ramadi. And it was some of the hardest fighting that our soldiers went through. Unfortunately, a lot of them lost their lives. And, you know, I was looking at some numbers, at some graphs, and most of the United States soldiers that were lost in that conflict lost their lives to things like IEDs. They weren't even killed in fighting. They were killed by traps. And I was just struck. And I'm just going to, those are the names that need to be on helmets. Can I be real?
Yeah.
We want to honor those young men and women that give their lives to keep us safe. We want to always honor them, always. And during this battle, there was an incident that happened. There was a team of Navy SEALs that were deployed. They were SEAL snipers. And these guys are just elite fighters. And they went out early or late. It was dark. And they infiltrated a hostile part of the city. And in Ramadi, they would fight neighborhood to neighborhood. And so there was no capturing the hill in Ramadi. You had to secure a neighborhood. And it was extremely difficult because this is an urban environment. There's danger on every corner. And it's very hard to tell who is who, because a civilian and the people they were fighting were called Mujahideen. And they looked exactly the same. They dressed exactly the same so they could blend in with the civilian population. And unfortunately, that caused a lot of issues with you know, it was very difficult on our soldiers. And so early in the morning, before the sun even thought about rising, a SEAL sniper team infiltrated into a hostile part of this neighborhood, and they set up on top of a building. And also a little later, there was another group that came in of United States soldiers, and they began to work their way through these neighborhoods, and they had an Iraqi soldier with them, because as you may remember, our soldiers were training and fighting alongside Iraqi soldiers as well. And this Iraqi soldier walked into a building, and the problem here was those two elements of the United States military were not supposed to be in the same place. But there had been a slight miscommunication in the leadership. And so while the SEAL team was supposed to be here secretly, the other team was supposed to be able to go in a different direction so they wouldn't kind of cross paths. Well, the Iraqi soldier entered the building. He breached in, and the SEALs thought that he was a Mujahideen fighter, and so they fired on him. And unfortunately, he was killed. So the American element that was with him pulled back, and they began to exchange fire with the SEALs that were holed up in the building, and they called for a heavy QRF, which is a quick reactionary force, and they were bringing tanks, they were bringing some serious firepower. Well, there was another SEAL team close by, and their commander came, and he thought, wait a minute, something's going on here. And the soldiers that were exchanging fire with the SEALs inside of the building were calling for, in fact, to quote the soldier that was speaking to the SEAL commander, he said, we need to drop a bomb on that building because there are enemies in there and they are giving us a hard time. So they wanted to just completely demolish that building because the fighters inside were so skilled. Unbeknownst to them, the fighters inside were United States Navy SEALs. And so they exchanged fire. But when the commander arrived, he thought, wait a minute, something's wrong here. And so he approached the front door of the building and literally kicked it in. And to the surprise of himself and the Navy SEAL standing on the inside of the building, they found each other. This kind of incident is a friendly fire incident, and it's called a blue-on-blue incident. It's horrible. You know, it's a bad, horrible thing for a soldier to be killed in battle by the enemy. How much more tragic for them to be killed by their own comrades? Horrible. As a Christian, we need to remember that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he writes about this. And starting at verse 3, he says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So we're fighting a spiritual war. And what that means, church, is that every day when you're faced with trial and tribulation, things that come against you, you may not realize it, but there is an enemy that wants you dead. There is an enemy that wants you to fail. There is an enemy that wants to derail you and mess you up. Why? To cause you an inconvenience? No, to cause you to miss heaven. Because he knows he's defeated, and the only thing that he knows he can do is try to distract you from the cross long enough that you can fall away. Misery loves company. So there's three things. I'm sorry, I get ahead of myself. Stay on your notes, JB. So as we fight this war together as this army of Christ, this Christian army, sometimes we have, unfortunately, these blue-on-blue incidents. Have you ever been hurt by someone you cared about? Have you ever, sometimes, The hardest conflict comes from the people we love the most. Why does that happen? Your own family, sometimes there's infighting. Sometimes at work, people that are even on the same team have infighting, rivalries, egos that are out of control, and conflict erupts amongst people that are on the same team. There are three causes of blue-on-blue incidents that I want to kind of break down for us this morning, and I'm going to try to go quick because the seats at Chavo's fill up quicker. Brittany and I tried to go eat there the other night, and we had to wait outside, and I was like, is this Spring Hill or Shreveport? Man, we're waiting in line outside. Like, it was crazy. So the first thing that can cause a blue-on-blue incident is errors of position. Errors of position. Stay in your lane. Have you ever had to say that to somebody that was in your Kool-Aid? Stay in your lane. We have a little inside joke here, mostly amongst myself and the daycare staff. But if there's any kind of talk that maybe is not wholesome, maybe about someone, we say, that's pancakes. We'll say, I smell some pancakes. And I don't know how that even started, but something about flattening. We need to flatten gossip like a pancake. Let me tell you something, church. Gossip will derail your walk with Christ. Somebody put an amen on that word. Gossip will stop you from pursuing Christ. It will get in the way. And let me tell you something. Let me just preach a little short sermon on gossip for about 1 minute. When you gossip about somebody, can you witness to them effectively? When you gossip about someone, can you pray for them effectively? When you gossip about someone, can you show Christ's love to them effectively? No, because you're going to be stuck on that gossip. Slander is evil. And you know what? Jesus, in fact, he talked to some people that were slanderers, and he called them sons of the devil. Do not gossip. As your pastor, if I hear you gossiping, I will call you out. That's because I love you. Because I want to see you grow. Because I want to see you pursue Christ. And I want to see you win victories. And I know that gossip will stop you from doing that. Okay? So because I love you, I'm going to do that. I like there was a character when I was in a youth group. He was called the evangelism linebacker. And he said, I love you, but it might hurt a little. Okay? And so sometimes if I say, hey, man, I smell pancakes, that means stop saying whatever you're saying. And so, errors of position occur when fire aimed at enemy forces may accidentally end up hitting one's own forces. Such incidents are exacerbated by close proximity of combatants and were relatively common during the First and Second World Wars, where troops fought in close combat and targeting was relatively inaccurate. Have you ever found yourself somewhere you were not supposed to be? Nobody? I have. Whose fault was that? Most of the time, it's our fault. When we end up somewhere we're not supposed to be, it's a lot of time, it's our fault. And maybe that doesn't mean necessarily you're in an actual physical location that you're not supposed to be in. Maybe you're in a thought process that you don't need to be stuck in. Maybe you're in an attitude that you don't need to be stuck in. And that can cause you to have a blue-on-blue incident with your brother or sister in Christ. Because if you're not in the right heart, and maybe they're not in the right heart, you guys could end up colliding in a nasty way. We don't want to do that. The best thing we can do is to set our eyes on the cross and follow that. Not get stuck on ego. We need to be careful to maintain proper position in our walk with Christ. If we begin to stray over into someone else's walk, we may cause or be the victim of an incident. A friendly fire incident. Second Peter 3:17 says, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. We want to be stable. We want to have our feet on a firm foundation. We don't want to live in a chaotic way. People that don't have Christ in their heart, you can watch them and their lives are so chaotic. Things happen time and time again. And you think, man, my goodness, what is going on? But when we embrace Christ and when we strive to follow Him, to stay in that lane, following His word, following His method, guess what? The chaos begins to leave. I'm not saying bad things don't happen, because they do. I'm not saying hardships don't happen, because they still absolutely do. But the chaos has got to go, because we don't serve a God of chaos. We serve a God of truth. The second thing that can cause a friendly fire incident in your walk with Christ, where you and another Christian collide and have an issue and fight. You know, sometimes Christians are, we get so, and I'm preaching kind of hard this morning, but I want us to be real. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own self that we just cannibalize. And we pick each other apart, and it just messes us up. And the body of Christ can't be doing that. We've got to stay united, because a house divided unto itself will surely what? Fall. We don't want to do that. We don't have room for that in our lives with Jesus, because we have a mission and we have a purpose. Amen? So errors of identification happen when friendly troops, neutral forces, or civilians are mistakenly attacked in the belief that they are the enemy. Oh my goodness. Have you ever lashed out at somebody that you thought was against you, but all they were trying to do was help? Have you ever been upset with somebody who was just trying to help you in a situation? Genesis chapter 4, we all know this story, but it's so relevant to this. Now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, He did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. But you must rule over it." And we know what happens in this final verse. Cain says to his brother Abel, "Let's go out into the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. How many people have you killed because you were in the wrong? How many, not literally, I don't think that you guys are walking around capping people. Some of y'all are like, "I'm no murderer." How many character assassinations have we carried out because we were upset at ourselves? Well, we don't guard our hearts. Man, God says it right here. Sin is crouching at your door, just waiting to get there, waiting to mess something up. I had a dog named Joe. He was my buddy. And one evening I got really lazy. I'm sorry. Don't pancake. We already talked about that. All right? You got to forgive me. Okay? I was being real lazy. And so I needed to take the trash all the way out. But I thought, you know what? Just this one time, I'm going to just set it right here by the back door. It'll be fine. So I set it by the door. That was, I know. Just pray for me, okay? I set it by the door, and in the night, a possum came up. And he was messing around with that trash. And my dog was so upset that he dug a hole through the floor trying to get to the possum. And I thought, what are you doing? You dug a hole through the floor. It was crazy. But all I had to do was get the garbage away from the front of my door. Okay? So we need to guard our hearts. Don't let that happen. You know, just like this stinking little possum is trying to sneak around, trying to get in. Sin's just like that. Anytime that we let garbage pile up around our heart, here comes that kind of stuff. Here comes our enemy trying to sneak in, seeking a way to destroy us, seeking a way to derail us in such a way that we bring someone else down with us. So Abel did nothing wrong. Cain did. And the reason, a lot of people don't understand, why didn't God accept Cain's sacrifice? You know, the reason is that Abel, the reason that God accepted Abel's offering instead of Cain's is because while Abel brought the first, that's very important, he brought the first portion, Cain did not. If you look at it, it says in the course of time, Cain brought, when Cain got around to it, he brought God his offering. He's the one that messed up, and he made Abel pay for it. That's an error of identification, and it caused a friendly fire incident. Cain should have been worried about himself. Okay? What about yourself? Let God worry about them. You do you. Okay? The final thing is, it's called response inhibition, or it's that failure from response inhibition, and that happens when someone is fired upon mistakenly, and they immediately fire back without analyzing the situation. Retaliation. Have you ever been there? Something happened, and you fired back so fast because whatever reason, you couldn't be disrespected, something like that. You fired back without analyzing the situation, without thinking about it, without praying about it. Instead of responding, you reacted. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your coat, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust." Can we stop right there? My goodness. God lets the sun come up on me and on the people that hate me. God blesses me and he blesses them. God loves me and he loves them. So why do I get to retaliate and break them into pieces? To finish this reading, it says, "For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." What does he mean by that? Perfect. We can't be perfect, right? We're not perfect. We're people. But what you can do to be perfect is portion. You know what? God loves you. I'm going to love you too. I'm not going to choose. Even if you're hurting me,
even if you are working against me, even if you are trying to derail me, I'm not going to retaliate. I'm not going to fight against you in a vicious and mean way. We've all been there in places where somebody was actively trying to hurt us, and we hurt them back. That's not Jesus. What did Jesus do? When we caused him to be hurt, he went like a lamb. And he carried his own cross. He took the punishment that was meant for us, that we caused him to have. And he died on the cross for our sins. So remember those things, so we don't have conflict in the church. Conflict with our brothers, with our sisters, with our own family of Christ. It's avoidable. That kind of conflict is avoidable. It's always right there waiting, because feelings get hurt really quickly. But if we pay attention, if we seek Christ, we can avoid those things. We can lift each other up, not tear each other down. And the body of Christ will grow, and we'll build the kingdom. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray together. And if you've got conflict going on in your life right now, you've got somebody that you just cannot resolve it. It's just a situation, and you don't know how to navigate it. You don't know how to get through it. Maybe they won't give in. You won't give in. It's hard. I want to pray specifically for that. So if you've got that in your life, if you've got somebody that you just can't make it work, and you're thinking, God, how do I fix this? You can't. He can, and you can follow him as he does. So let's pray again. If you've got conflict in your life right now, just pray with me. And if you don't, pray for those that do. Let's pray together. God, I just